Ryan stood in the doorway to the control room. Inside the chamber, JB crouched by the device, warily eyeballing it. The timer was attached to a chemical mix with an explosive and an accelerant to increase the blast. When it went off, it would appear to be a single explosion, but in fact there would be two in very quick succession. The first triggering the full payload of the device.
JB?
The armor glass will hold the explosion.
What about defusing it?
This bastard's wired up six ways to Sunday. I'd need hours to figure it out.
How long do we have?
30 seconds!
Slipping his wire cutters back into his jacket pocket, JB made his way swiftly to the chamber door and pulled it closed behind him. Once the door was closed, the Matrans chamber was designed to be airtight to ensure a clean jump when in use.
Why aren't you gone?
You think I'm letting you get blown up on your own?
We got 10 seconds.
JB followed Ryan into the Stark corridor. Then the two men started to run, hurrying for the nearest doorway, which was cracked open. Once inside, both men turned away from the direction of the blast and pressed their hands over their ears.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Jack was with Doc and Christy in a garage area of the redoubt when the bomb exploded.
Ryan!
Relax, Christy, my girl. We don't know what has happened yet.
I want to go back.
Going back would only serve to place us in more danger. They will come to us when they're ready.
A few paces ahead of them, Jack had adopted a semi-crouch as he walked toward the door to the redoubt, located on one side of the garage, which still contained a few thoroughly stripped military vehicles. The door to the redoubt was open and showed about 4 feet of blue sky and the dirt of an overgrown track. Jack's Colt Python had materialized in his hand once more. He didn't like that open door. It meant that someone had been inside, probably the bomber, and that he hadn't had time to close it again, which meant he could still be nearby. Jack's pale hand flicked at the Colt's trigger guard as he stealthily approached the opening. He stopped for a moment at the open door and listened. His gun poised in front of him, Jack stepped outside. The door had been propped open with sawed down tree limbs and pieces of metal. The construction was like a scaffold, well planned and solid. In addition, attention had been paid to the meeting point where the door slid into the wall. There was no exposed hinge or mechanism there, but someone had gone to a lot of trouble to bend the thick titanium door so that it wouldn't snap back. There were trees all around, and it took a moment for Jack to zero in on the sound he had first noted from inside the redoubt. There, to the left. A dirt track led to the redoubt entrance, with a scrubby grass border to either side, wide enough to carry a vehicle. Jack stepped over the path and onto the grass, where he could ensure his passage would remain stealthy. He guessed that at least 3 people were approaching. Crouching, his gun held in one hand, Jack scrambled across the scrub, weaving swiftly between stubby trees. His keen eyes spotted the figure crouching behind a bush. It was a man, maybe mid-30s, wearing cotton clothes, light and simple and remarkably clean. His hands were dirty, though, and there was a streak of what looked like either oil or dirt on his face. Jack slowed as he spotted the gun in the man's hand. It was a Smith & Wesson, not much more than 7 inches in length, its once gleaming surface pitted and blackened with age. As Jack approached, the man turned toward him.
Oh, thank heaven. I thought you were...
The man stopped, alert like a dog. For the first time, Jack spotted the figures moving through the trees. Dressed in white robes, they were easy to see. They didn't walk together, but had spread out, taking different routes down the slope. Jack counted 5 of them wending through the trees above, fluid and almost mist-like in their movements. Crouched by the bush, the bearded man glanced back at Jack, his eyes pleading.
Did the bomb go off? You can't let them...
William! Will, what are you doing?
The man, presumably William, raised his pistol. Jack ducked back, dipping behind the nearest tree. William had clearly missed his target. Upslope, one of the figures in white stepped swiftly behind a tree. Jack watched the figure slip out from cover, and he could tell that it was a woman, perhaps the same one who had called to William.
Help me! Please! You know what they'll do!
Jack almost gasped as the white-clad figures emerged from the trees. They were all women, young and tall, and with long limbs and long hair styled atop their heads, in some kind of elaborate braid or plait. The robes billowed around them like mist. They were beautiful, angelic. William rose from his crouch.
Die! Damn you all!
The women sidestepped the shots with breathtaking ease. One of the women leapt and kicked out at a tree, using it to lever herself higher. She landed back on the ground, now just 3 feet from the man with the gun. Then the woman grabbed the barrel of the man's gun. The white-robed women converged on him.